Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. These broadcasts are made possible through the teaching and testimonies of the pastors and the members of Brookside Baptist Church. We certainly invite you to worship with us. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 and 10:15, and then evening service at 6 o'clock. We're located at 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more details, you can visit our website at www.thewordforlife.org or call us at 262-783-6180. The last time we got together, we were talking about making a difference in a child's will. We all agree that children can certainly have strong wills. The strong-willed child is what I think my oldest son was. In fact, when James Dobson wrote the book, I think he probably heard the story of my son and decided he needed to write a book. It just seemed like whatever we told our son to do, he didn't do. Whatever we told him not to do, he decided that's what he wanted to do. We had no question in our minds when he got saved that he had gotten saved, because everything changed. But prior to that time, oh my soul, it was not fun. It was difficult. It was consistent, the discipline that we had to continue to apply. Now, that's our responsibility as parents. In fact, Galatians 4:1 says that the heir, H-E-I-R, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, he'll eventually inherit everything, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. See, it's the father's responsibility to determine the teachers and the authorities that his children need in their lives for the accomplishment of godly character. Now, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." How easy it is for us in our efforts to make a difference in our child's will to show a strong will on our own part, and how discouraging that is when we have to realize, we've got to go back and ask them to forgive us because we messed up again. You know, the whole issue, the whole thing that is the goal of child training is to bring them to the point that the Holy Spirit is controlling their spirit. Because prior to that time, their old nature is controlling their spirit. And many times they have no rule over their own spirit. It reminds me of Proverbs 25:28. It says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." No protection at all. Now, back in those days when this proverb was given, everybody understood the dastardly destruction that can take place and the danger of the people living in that city if it had no walls, if the walls were broken down. It simply meant that anybody and everyone could come by and just devastate and steal and rob and tear up your town unless you had walls. So the Bible is saying that if our children have no rule over their own spirit, they cannot control their spirit, they're not spirit controlled, then it's going to be very dangerous for them as they continue to grow. Now, why is it that our children challenge the authority that God has placed in their lives, whether it be us or their school teachers or Sunday school teacher or youth pastor or whatever? Well, we all know they have an old nature. The last time we were looking in Psalm 51:5, where David said, "I was born with a sin nature, and sin did my mother conceive me." See, the old nature is there. And children respect strength and courage. And when strength is combined with love, they'll respect strength and courage on your part every time, mom and dad. Now, even children and teens have a dominance chain, you know, where the leaders are well known and followed. That's true in every children's group. That's true on every team where kids or teenagers are involved. There's a dominance chain. And the one that is the dominant one is the one that's followed, the one that's respected. You know, in every home, that ought to be mom and dad. But children naturally challenge your strength of resolve in the area of obedience at an early age, and even in the early years of their teenage life. And so if we as parents accept the child's defiant challenge, something changes in our relationship. an attitude of disrespect develops. And then greater defiance occurs to see if there's any line at all that can't be crossed. And if we continue to give in, then they will continue to challenge our authority more and more and more. Now, that being true, let's talk about how to shape a child's will. The first thing is, you need to define the boundaries before they're enforced. You define the boundaries. What is acceptable? What's not acceptable? In the area of respect to authority, in the area of honesty, in the area of obedience. What is expected? Define the boundaries before you try to enforce them. And then when defiantly challenged, respond with confident decisiveness. Many times during those nose-to-nose confrontations, you're going to hear them say stuff like, I hate you, or I'm going to kill you, or even I'm going to kill myself. You know, when a child has made it clear that he's looking for a fight, the wise parent must never disappoint him. I'm not talking about a fist fight. I'm not talking about a physical fight. I'm talking about a fight of wills. And when a child is defiant against his authority or her authority and makes it clear to his or her parent, somebody's going to win here, then every time the parent must never disappoint him. Nothing is more important to your parenting ministry than to refuse to disintegrate during a confrontation. There will be confrontations. And you simply have to refuse to give in. Now, that means we need to distinguish between willful disobedience and childish irresponsibility. See, children many times just respond irresponsibly. In Psalm chapter 103 and verse 13, the Bible says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. See, even the Heavenly Father recognizes there are times of weakness, and he deals with us according to our weakness. And sometimes we as parents fail to distinguish between just childish irresponsibility. When it's not willful disobedience, they're just being irresponsible. Maybe they're physically or mentally incapable of meeting our expectations. Maybe they're too tired. Maybe we are demanding too much of them too late in the day. That's our responsibility to recognize those things. But then when a confrontation does take place and you stand firm, then you have to reassure and teach with love after the confrontation is over. In other words, letting them know, okay, we had a confrontation, and I didn't give in, and I'm still the leader here, but I want to let you know I love you and pray with them and for them. And during that time, assure him or her of your love and your support, and just letting them know, I know you can improve. I know you can get better. I expect better things of you, and I'm confident that you are capable of that. See, when you deal with the attitudes that were evidenced, as well as the actions, you're dealing with the root problem, so you don't have to deal with the fruit all the time. Go back to the attitudes. What attitudes are causing these actions and these words? And let them know we're going to have confrontations over attitudes as well. Now, we need to avoid the most common error we often make, and that's our inappropriate use of anger in attempting to control them. See, it's inappropriate for you and me as parents to experience and demonstrate anger when we're trying to control their anger. Oh, that's so tough, isn't it? To be an example of what we truly intend to teach, to be an example. In other words, we have to practice what we preach, don't we? That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation or lifestyle, in charity and love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He's basically saying, Timothy, you can't have followers until you have become the right kind of example. Moms and dads, the same thing is true for us. We can't expect our children to be following us into obedience, into a right spirit, into having a heart for God, until they see in us the example in word. Notice what it says. Be an example in word. Moms, dads, are there any words that you use that you're embarrassed about, that if others heard you use them, they would be shocked? Are there any words that you're not an example in? How about lifestyle, the word conversation? Is there anything in your lifestyle that is not a good example? And yes, your children are following your example in that area. Maybe you lose your temper, and then they lose their temper as well. How about in love? Are you an example of love? Are you an example of having a right spirit? Are you an example in purity? In purity. You see, the word example means we are letting them know this is what they should be. It is simply what an object leaves behind when pressed against another. In other words, when you take a seal and you press it down into the clay, it leaves that impression. That's the word example. So as we are pressed against our children, what kind of impression do we leave in their lives? If it is an impression that is godly, that is God-honoring, then what an example we will be able to set. But if it's not, if the impression we are leaving in their lives is one that will be a poor impression, a poor example, we're pressing against them, and we are leaving that impression in their lives because we aren't practicing what we preach. You remember the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1? He said, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Can you say that to your children? Can you tell them, whatever you hear me say, you can say. However you see me respond, you can respond. Whatever you see me do, you can do. That's the goal in seeking to make a difference in our child's will. As they see our will being submitted to the will of the Holy Spirit of God, then we are making an impression in their clay, so to speak, in their clay hearts. I trust that you will be able to say, whatever you see in me, hear in me, you can do. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, if these things are not true. You may want to spend a few moments following our broadcast this morning by simply saying, "Lord, help me to be an example of what I intend to teach so that my children will see a difference in their will to be more godly." Till the next time, may the Lord bless you.